Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So do you want to talk about Becky or do you want to talk about AEW?
Because
those are the two topics every week.
Sure, but I do feel like WWE gave us a little extra to talk about. Well, first, you know, obviously there's the pay-per-view.
Yes, there's the pay-per-view. Which, that'll happen.
But, well, first off, they... Revival won the tag team championships.
Yes.
So there's that. I guess the squeaky wheel gets the oil. so we're led to believe.
Is that a please don't go victory?
I mean, okay. Before the Revival had their reported, you know, meeting with Vince.
Yeah.
What was it, like a month and a half ago maybe? Uh-huh. Before that, if you were to say that the Revival would be tag team champions before WrestleMania this year, would you believe me?
I would not believe you.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you know, they were still in the middle of their weird feud with Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
And being made to look like fools the entire time. And then suddenly they're, you know, flipped on a dime. And I think they've had, like, at least two, if not three, championship matches since then.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say, to me, this doesn't so much feel like it elevates the Revival as much as it confirms how little value the tag team championship is.
Yeah.
And that's maybe unfair because, you know, you can, anytime somebody's trying to climb a ladder, metaphorically, you can talk about like, oh, this doesn't make thing A better, it just makes thing B worse.
Right.
But I will fully say I've never been super big on the Revival.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're talented.
Sure.
I know that a lot of people are very excited, very invested in them. They feel very gimmickless to me.
Right.
Which can sometimes be a really good thing, but in this case feels like a really bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, their characters are really good at wrestling.
Yes.
And, sorry, you have to be pretty okay at wrestling to even be on the roster.
Right.
You know? Now, granted, there are some people that
have managed somehow to sidestep that.
Yeah, defied that logic. But, for the most part, if you're on the roster, you're good at wrestling, so you need something else that stands you apart. And I would argue that they are that good as a tag team that they do stand apart, you know, just from a skill.
Yeah.
At least from a heel tag team perspective. They, you know, they have ring psychology down to a T, to where they do stand out, but having more personality wouldn't hurt.
I feel like one of our not biggest complaints, one of our most recurring complaints about people who are new to NXT, especially who, like, they didn't pick up big prizes from, you know, indies or elsewhere, but people who are, like, homegrown, this is an NXT guy.
Yeah.
So one of our most recurring complaints is that guy looks like he didn't have to do anything on the make-your-own-wrestler character. Mm-hmm. He's straight out of the box, complete, you know, middle-of-the-road everything, very standard. Like, didn't even change his tights. It's just the basic everything. And so many of those guys evolve out of that. Mm. I mean, honestly, DIY was that initially. Like, they looked different because they had the big, tall, you know, kind of thing. But that, Roderick Strong was that.
But they looked like, at that point, indie wrestler 1 and 2.
Yes.
Essentially. Now, they have grown since then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, most people have. It feels like the Revival made it to the, you know, Raw level, and then the Raw tag team level now, without ever having adjusted the sliders on their make-your-own video game character.
Yeah. Now, and especially because they spent so much time on the shelf. You know, like, that's one of the knocks against them, is that they are injury-prone. But you would have thought their time away at one of these stints would have, I don't know, sparked some sort of creative juices to, like, let's build something here. Let's, you know, expand these characters some more. So when we come back, we can go beyond that, you know, initial, hey, we're back, you know,
enthusiasm.
So I agree with you on that.
And I will say, you know, in the defense of this decision, I'm not sitting here saying it shouldn't have been the revival. It should have been X.
Right.
Because I don't have an X.
Yeah.
There is
the Raw tag team division is.
There's literally nobody on there that I can look at and say they should be champion.
Like, especially with like one half of AOP being injured, and even when they were healthy, you know, they were doing Drake Maverick P gimmicks.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of people that I can say I'm fine with them being champion. It's not necessarily wrong that they're champion.
That honestly, as big of a Chad Gable mark that I am, I was perfectly okay with him and Bobby Roode. Because honestly, I don't really care about Bobby Roode. You know, and honestly, I was like, why are they putting my guy with Bobby Roode? Like,
yeah. And see, I'm completely in a tank. I'm like, Bobby Roode is this amazing untapped well of potential that they've never drowned in a theme song.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing theme song.
Right. But that's the extent of his character.
Right. And there's a lot of people like, you know what? Alex Riley had an amazing theme song.
Yeah.
It got you pumped up.
Uh-huh.
And Alex Riley, it's not a bold stand, but I will take a stand to say, like, Alex Riley couldn't escape from under the weight of the theme song.
Right.
Bobby Roode, I feel, is being held back by the theme song, as great of the theme song as it is.
Yeah.
But I looked at that exact same pairing as you, and I was like, oh, and now they're trapping him with Chad Gable? guy that can't keep a tag team together?
True. And that's why I thought, like, you know, maybe, like, give him a try at a mid-card belt. Let the kid do some, you know, some singles stuff.
Yeah.
You know, don't trap him in a tag team, because clearly you guys don't want him in a tag team.
Yeah.
I will say that, yeah, Revival winning at this point had probably a lot to do with their meeting with Vince. But honestly, like,
yes,
sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes, you know, because you have all these stories of guys who have, you know, it seemed like they haven't done much with WWE and probably never had a meeting with Vince. And then you hear the stories of, well, we were doing nothing and we decided to have a meeting with Vince, and all of a sudden we have this big moment. Like, New Day, famously, that's your story.
Yeah.
You know?
And I will say there are plenty of really amazing runs, really amazing story arcs.
Yeah.
That, and the thing that started them off,
mm-hmm,
I dismissed. I didn't care about. I was like, well, I guess they were running short on material this week.
Yeah.
Which is how this feels to me. And that's like, you know, I'm not mad that the Revival won. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that they won. It feels like such a non-event to me.
Yeah.
It's like, we're also not talking about plenty of other things that happen on Raw and SmackDown, just because they don't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Side note, if you want people to watch your show, everything should matter.
Yeah. And honestly, I liked what they did this week. I like that they had, two matches on Raw that, you know, determined how the Elimination Chamber matches would go. And then you had that amazing gauntlet showing with Kofi on SmackDown, which is absolutely something we need to get into. But those matches alone felt like, okay, there are repercussions to these matches that, you know, lead to this pay-per-view that we're all trying to build towards, that's this Sunday, that, you know, we're trying to build excitement for.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good way to do it.
I don't disagree with that. You know.
But they don't replicate that every week.
No.
You know. But it is good that they at least did that on a go-home show. On both shows, I should say. Let's talk about Kofi.
Okay.
Had a gauntlet match. He started it off with Daniel Bryan and went a solid hour beating a lot of top guys in SmackDown. Which is especially weird that they would book it that way when you think about it. Considering, you know, Kofi was a last-minute addition because they had to take Mustafa Ali out with an injury. But what I think it does well is it immediately establishes Kofi as a legit contender.
Yes. And for everything else in the world, and the list of complaints that is miles and miles long now, one thing that WWE has always been really good at is when they have to do a last-minute replacement like this, they do something that makes you go, oh, that guy mm-hmm. is now, and so many times, you know, I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, person A is out, person B is in, yeah. and we'll sit here and be like, well, that means person B's not going to win because person mm-hmm. B was never part of the conversation to begin with. Person yeah. B is completely out. And then it's, you know, they'll have some sort of extended run, or they'll end that show in such a way that something will happen. We'll all go, well, I don't know about person B now. And this happens time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And part of that is because every now and then, like Finn Balor winning the championship for the first time.
Yeah.
He wasn't replacing somebody, but he felt like an also ran until the match. And then you're like, well, okay, maybe. Yeah. And then it was okay. Yes.
Yeah. And even like, honestly, if this is as far as this whole run with Kofi goes, I thought it was a good, you know, show of respect to a guy who doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Especially from WWE themselves. You know, the guy, like, you know, they stated he's in the company 11 years. He's only really had one main event attempt. And
the Randy Orton thing?
Yeah, the Randy Orton thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, you know, people to this day will say that, you know, probably that storyline wasn't given its just due in the end. And, you know, it's been no secret that the rest of the members of New Day, their, you know, ambition is we want to get Kofi Kingston as a world champ one of these days.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he has the talent. You know, his biggest knock was, you know, his promo work. And, you know, he has a ton of personality. And they just found a way, you know, with New Day
right.
to showcase it correctly. Because the Jamaican character and really are just bland Kofi I can do fun yes. stuff wasn't working.
New Day has been, I mean, for years now, a trial by fire of personality training.
Yes.
That Kofi has excelled at.
Yeah.
Not that I want to see any of these guys have to cut a promo alone.
No.
But they all feel incredibly capable of it.
Yeah. And Big E as well, you know, you would see like tiny glimpses of his personality here and there when he was in a singles run, but you didn't see it run its full course until New Day.
Right.
You know?
And there is not a weak promo link in the New Day.
No.
And they've done such a good job of keeping that balanced. Mm-hmm. And it's added to balancing out their ring work. You remember when they came out, mm-hmm. it was Kofi and Big E that were the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And Xavier was a hype man, basically. Yeah. And he's come in and he is one third of this, you know, team that in as far as wrestling goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the promo weight has been shared just as equally.
Yeah.
Either any of these guys can take up the mic and it doesn't feel weird.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had been kind of wanting for a while a top singles run from one of these guys. While still part of the New Day, and you know, I have my hopes. It's real guarded, but you know, I really hope that this is the beginning of that. I'm not necessarily putting money on it.
No,
but one can hope.
So here's the weird, but I'm gonna stand by it. Reason I don't want this to be it for Kofi, and that's because this is going into what's it called?
WrestleMania?
Yes. Well, it's going to the chamber, which is, yes, headed towards WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And if Kofi is going to have a well-deserved mm-hmm. big WrestleMania match, big WrestleMania moment,
mm-hmm.
he should get it by winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
If there is somebody who deserves the honor of Royal Rumble winner...
Sure. I'll agree with that, but at the same time, it's one of those situations where, like, I honestly... At the end of the day, I don't care how it happens. I just want it to happen.
Right. If it's this or nothing, this all the way. And because we are always in that, like, threat.
Yeah.
Then, no, I don't want to be like, mm-hmm. I'm going to say no to this until WWE sees the error of their ways. Because they mm-hmm. rarely do. So, yes, I'm hopeful for that. But I also feel like as much as I'm impressed by Kofi, I respect what he does, I care about and hope for great things for him, I really feel it's very likely that if he gets this much deserved shot at the top and then hopefully a title run,
mm-hmm.
it will be one. He will get one.
Yeah.
And then he will
successfully
do that. And then he'll go back to the New Day,
sure.
which is not a bad thing.
But, you know, at least we can point to this one thing and be like, you know, Kofi had this opportunity. They gave him a chance, and, you know, I'm assuming him and the New Day are going to just run away with it and execute it in an amazing way that they can do. But I'll stop it there because we're going to touch on our Elimination Chamber predictions later.
Yes.
And some of that has to do with it.
Okay.
So Becky.
Becky.
Yeah. That's the other big thing. They've pulled the trigger on something that we've kind of all figured was going to happen with Charlotte.
Kind of. So we always knew / feared / expected that this match would be turning into a triple threat with Charlotte being involved. And it was this kind of thing where I was like, okay, so how are we going to get there? Oh, so Becky's winning the Rumble. Becky won the Rumble. Oh, and Charlotte was number two, so like she has that claim.
Right.
And she didn't really use that claim. So it's like, okay. And you had this little bit of like, dare I hope?
Right. And in the end, it ends up being Becky has an attitude problem. Vince uses Charlotte as his favorite.
Yes. By the way, as you know, Mr. McMahon's like my return to character. That's the thing that I keep getting excited. It takes Vince about 2 or 3 weeks from coming off of break to really get back into Mr. McMahon these days.
Yeah.
Like, this was like a good, like, every third word was like full Mr. McMahon, and the rest of it was still just Vince.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, it's like watching like something get started back up, like that speed go, and you're like, oh, I see it.
Yeah.
And if he comes back out next week, and I think he can do a great Mr. McMahon, like full blown. It was me all along, Austin, Mr. McMahon promo.
He's an old train. It takes him a little bit to get chugging.
It does. Yeah. It does.
So as we're supposed to believe right now, the match is Charlotte versus Ronda.
Yes.
Becky's on a 60-day suspension. I'm assuming something's going to happen with the Ric Flair birthday party in a couple weeks to include Becky into all this.
That makes the most sense.
When I think about it, I'm okay. I'm okay with the triple threat. I wasn't initially, but when just going through Twitter and seeing angry wrestling fans about this, and it makes you really take a step back and makes you think, was I this obnoxious? Was I this annoying? So there's one thing. It's like, you know what? I choose to be more positive about this because I don't want to be like that. Two, you know, if Becky ends up on top at the end of WrestleMania,
right?
She gets to claim that she won the first ever women's main event of WrestleMania. B, it's more for her to overcome.
Yeah.
In simple math, 2 is greater than 1. And honestly, from WWE standpoint, they have a person in this match that can take the heat. Because, you know, WWE, they do not want them to boo Ronda.
Yes, and that's where I was going with this.
Right.
When this came up last week.
Yeah.
I think it was last week. Might have been 2 weeks ago now. But Ronda cut this promo and got booed. Got the ever-living mess booed at her. And you saw it like, oh, the same thing with The Rock. It's like, what is this noise? This isn't Ronda noises.
Yeah.
And so at the time, and I think we even talked about it on the podcast, at the time we were like, listen to this noise. You have the reaction for a singles match. Like, there's no way you don't need to play this as a singles match. And I think that they heard that noise and then had that reaction of, we cannot let Ronda take these boos.
Right.
Because if Ronda doesn't want to, if Ronda's like, no, I don't like this, this is mean and hurts my feelings, I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
WWE feels like they need Ronda more than Ronda needs WWE.
Sure.
I can argue yes or no on that, but that's how WWE feels right now. And I don't think that's really up for question.
Obviously the thinking behind this, at least I think, is Charlotte's there to eat the pin.
Oh.
Yeah. That way, in case Becky loses, she doesn't necessarily, you know, lose momentum or anything, because she's what's going to carry the division beyond WrestleMania.
Yes.
And they don't want Rhonda to eat that pin because we're assuming Rhonda is going to be going away.
Right.
For X number of time after that. But at the same time, they don't want her to lose any sort of momentum on her end either. If
yes.
that makes any sense.
No, and I get that. But the what it comes down to is yes, I think that's the plan, is yeah. Charlotte has to be here to be the heel of the match.
And Charlotte has shown that she can take the heat and she can take the loss, and she'll be perfectly fine.
You can see, even in Rhonda's immediate Twitter response was this this is deplorable. You know, you've taken away what was supposed to be a great moment for me and Becky, and I'm mad about this too, guys.
And same thing with Becky. You know, she used stronger language, but, they both had a very angry response to the decision at the end of Raw. Basically, both saying, we side with the fans.
Yes.
We're angry about this too.
Yes. And after Raw went off the air, Becky and Rhonda teamed up to fight the Riot Squad. This whole oh no, Rhonda's.
I didn't know that. That feels gross.
Well, and so it was oh, here's the heat. Here's the faces.
Yeah,
they're on a team.
Yeah, that pretty much shows their hand right there.
And so where I come down on this is I get this, but you are halfway through February.
Yeah.
You've got a month and a half to go.
Yeah.
And.
But at the same time.
I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte will get booed.
Sure.
That's not a question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is going to cushion Rhonda from getting booed as well. I don't think this is going to work out in the long run like they're hoping to. And that is if the main goal is to keep Rhonda as a face, I don't think she's going to be facing this match. I think anybody that's standing between Becky and the title...
Yeah.
is not a face, and is going to get booed as such, especially when you get to WrestleMania and you have that WrestleMania crowd.
Yeah.
Who's
already, easily 97% in the tank for Becky.
Yes, and I don't think...
It's going to be, the Daniel Bryan effect all over again, where they're going to boo anybody that isn't Daniel Bryan.
Right. Well, and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30... fought three heels.
Sure.
There was no Batista's, we kind of agree with him because he was robbed of his justified. No. It was boo Batista, boo Randy Orton, and boo Triple H.
Yeah.
And boo those stupid girls that are walking around Triple H in the stupid entrance. Boo everything.
Right.
And so I think I'm not mad at the Charlotte being added and it being a triple threat on principle.
Yeah.
Yes, I would prefer the singles match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a greater grandiose moment. I think it's a more interesting story. I think
especially
it's a more interesting match.
Especially with Becky Lynch being the first person to pin or submit Rhonda.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what it should be. This isn't the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is fine, but I think that if the goal is to keep Becky as the face, or not Becky, but Rhonda as a face, I think it's not going to work, and I think you're still going to end up fighting the fans.
Yeah.
And this is the first WrestleMania in a long time where you don't have to do that.
No. Mm-mm.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah, and honestly, there's so much more upside for Rhonda as a heel.
And that's the thing, is I don't know if Rhonda doesn't want to be a heel.
Yeah.
And that, you have conflicting backstage reports, and it's all just made up, and here's how I feel anyway.
Sure.
But Rhonda either doesn't want to be heel, she likes being cheered, which is fair. I like being cheered.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You should try it sometime.
Yeah. At the same time, but you also hear from wrestlers who say it's so much more fun to be a heel.
It's more fun.
But she doesn't know that. She hasn't experienced that yet.
Well, and all of her quote unquote idols are heels, Rowdy Piper was template of how to do it.
Wrote the book, yeah.
And so, I don't know. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
I think that right now, Mr. McMahon's getting booed. Charlotte will get booed. Becky will get cheered. I don't know how Rhonda will be treated these next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I think once you get into March, once you're this is a triple threat, and you have three of them in the ring, all pointing at the sign, two of them are still going to get booed.
Yeah.
And just do it. Just lean into that. Batista was a heel by WrestleMania. Like, mm-hmm. you gave him a month and a half. You're like, they'll cheer eventually. No.
And they didn't. Yeah.
And so, and he got to be great. He got to be a great heel. He got to be amazing.
Yeah.
He got to be a part of history.
Mm-hmm. He got to be Batista. And even he, like, yeah, and even he leaned into that.
And so.
I still think he's still confused by Batista, but we don't have to go over that.
Well, and so like, yeah, lean into it. Tell a great story. You have all the pieces.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Before we get into the card of Elimination Chamber, we do need to talk about All Elite had a press conference.
Yeah.
Since we last recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, press conference, and they've put their tickets on sale since the last time.
You've missed them. They're gone.
Yeah, 100%. We could start in the order of events. The press conference happened. A few more signees showed up. They announced, obviously the big one is Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Announced that Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho 2 is going to happen at All or Nothing. Also, a few days later, they did announce that the Jericho Cruise is coming back, this time partnered with All Elite, which makes complete sense. So, yeah, they just kind of filled the card out some more.
Yeah. Just a couple of announcements of people who are going to be there, who are part of this company now. But the bigger announcements were, Double or Nothing centered, which were Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho is a match, Young Bucks and Lucha Bros is a match.
Yeah.
And the other one, they officially went ahead and said that Pac and Hangman were going to be in a match.
Mm.
I don't think they mentioned anything for Cody specifically.
No, they haven't.
So
they're touching on that on like the road to Double or Nothing or whatever it's called. Like the more serious doc.
Yes.
But they're touching more on Cody's side on that. I will say this. All Elite, they've made a lot of good decisions so far, and it helps that they have good financial backing behind them.
Yes.
There is one thing that I'm going to critique.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like much, but I promise you it makes a world of difference. Commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for that press conference. Was awful.
Yeah, wasn't... What's his name? The guy that was doing commentary, I don't remember his name.
Well, there's Conrad, who is not a commentator.
No,
he annoys me as a podcaster. I know that's like throwing stones at the glass house. And I understand that there are times where I say things repeatedly. You've pointed out I say 100% a lot. We've pointed out to you plenty of times that. You always say, here's the thing.
If you would just know what the thing was, I wouldn't
that.
Have to keep telling you what the thing was.
If I have to hear him say rumor and innuendo one more effing time. and I don't really listen to much of his stuff. I didn't listen to much of the Pritchard thing.
Yeah.
And when it comes to situations like this where he's a commentator, I don't remember what the name of the other gentleman, not Excalibur. Excalibur's
great.
Yeah. The older gentleman, I don't remember his name, but there was no sort of depth to anything he was saying.
Right.
Just like, man, that's great. And then Conrad, he's real monotone. And I felt like there was no real.
So,
yeah.
I will say, and I don't know if this is the commentary team for.
Yeah.
All Elite for their shows and stuff. I don't know.
If it is, I would ask that they would reconsider.
I will say that, one, I get that it's hard to provide colored commentary for a press conference. At the same time, there are a lot of people who are very excited and tuning into this who don't know most of those people.
Yeah.
Anybody tuning in probably knows some of them. Like, I don't think anybody's tuning in and be like, I don't know who any of these new announcees are. I just know the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. But I do think that for probably, I would say easily 50%, probably higher, some of the names that were announced were brand new to them.
Yeah.
Assuming you, the commentator, has, information ahead of time on who's going to be coming out. some stats.
Yeah.
Some
background info.
Everybody's the youngest or the first or the, you know, there's enough championships out there. A lot of these people have accolades.
Yeah.
Just what are they?
Yeah. And I mean, I know it's not really feasible just because I know he's got contracts, I believe, with Ring of Honor and, you know, he does stuff in New Japan and everything. But man, Kevin Kelly would have been great.
Yeah.
He would have been great for this. And having him and Excalibur and Colt Cabana would be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing all that out. Even, you know, and I know, well, Don Callis is, you know, busy with Impact and everything, but even Don Callis.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to mention is so we have over the past, you know, month and a half, basically, and we've had to talk about All Elite Wrestling every week because something happened, some rumor.
Yeah.
And a lot of the rumors have centered around, you know, this WWE star is unhappy and might be moving to, and that has included Dolph Ziggler, Sasha Banks, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar.
The Revival.
I mean,
Ty Dillinger.
Yes.
Like, you know, a lot of the mid-card guys as well.
We've had at least a dozen names or more, but like people specifically mentioned my name as this person, you know, is highly into that. And obviously none of them showed up.
No.
And I saw some like disappointment on that and some like, oh, this isn't the next thing. This is just another, like, you know, any promotion with a little too much money, then it's going to their head. So I just want to say, from here, from this moment until All Elite Wrestling has folded or is like at TNA levels, every time somebody's contract is close to being up, there will be rumors.
Yeah.
They could be the happiest WWE wrestler in the whole wide world.
Yep.
They're still going to, like, you know, hey, Cody, what's a number
that
I can take to Vince?
Yeah.
Like, Vince has to beat it by a penny, and I'm still here. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's just basic general contracts. You are the top 60 to 80 wrestlers
and I
in the world.
Yeah, and I said something to that effect a couple weeks ago where, you know, if you are a wrestler whose contract is up in the next few days and you have some sort of notoriety, especially if you're in WWE, you would be dumb to at least not take their temperature over at All Elite. Get a, like you said, get a number on a piece of paper, bring it back to Vince, and see, you know, if they can match it. You know, at worst, they can't, and you have this other, you know, company that you can go make an impact at.
Yeah.
And then at best, you get even more money to stay where you're at.
And I think there's also, you know, every rumor you hear, please take it with the most giant grain of salt right now.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that anybody who isn't currently a champion would like to be champion.
Yeah.
That's why they're in this business. They have to have a certain amount of drive.
You would assume as much, yeah.
They would have a certain amount of drive to get to the WWE right now. Nobody, none of these wrestlers has been trying to get back to the couch to watch their cartoons and keeps tripping backwards into success.
True.
Like, these guys want to be successful. They want to be there. And so,
and then there's JTG.
Okay. The exception that proves the rule.
I understand, but I would say there's always an exception, but for the most, for the 99% of the other people, you are correct.
But yes, the point is that just because, you know, their contract is up and so they're in the rumor circulation, that doesn't mean that they've necessarily seriously considered it. It's just the nature of the business right now. And it's going to be for a while until we know what All Elite is, because we really don't.
No.
There was a, I don't remember who, it was a tweet from somebody. And so forgive me for not citing it, but it was somebody All Elite related who talked about, like, you know, the excitement of seeing another show put on by another company with, you know, such production value. And it was like, you saw how great they were at All In. And now imagine that they have this money behind them.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I also have no idea. Like, you know,
they also had a, you know, a heavy helping hand from Ring of Honor.
Yes.
For All In.
So they had a, these press conferences, as far as production value goes, they were press conferences.
Yeah.
And like, that doesn't necessarily a bad thing, But I've also seen Marvel Entertainment put on a press conference. Yeah. And oh boy, that's how you put on a press conference.
But they also have a few billion dollars to back them
exactly.
up. And I don't know. Like, I know the Khan family are loaded. I don't know if they're willing to play that much money behind them just yet.
Yes. And also, you're not making your Infinity War right now.
Right.
You're seeing if your Iron Man works.
And honestly, like, I will commend them on showing restraint. I mean, any other company that's trying to make a big splash would put on a huge show pretty much right out the gate to ride that momentum and probably send them into some sort of bankruptcy within, you know, a few years. But they would, you know, start off, you know, strong and hard. They're going until May. You know, they're waiting 5 months to build up momentum. Like, they could have gone to a bigger arena.
Yeah.
They could have gone Double or Nothing. They could have gone to a 20,000 seat arena. Instead, they go to a, like, I think 14,000.
14,000, I think, is what our quota.
And still sold out in a ridiculous.
And they sold out in 4 minutes.
Well, they sold out their pre-sale stuff in 40-something minutes. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that's where the bulk of the tickets were, because they didn't want to repeat it last time where they just put everything on sale and scalpers, like, ate up a bunch of them.
Yes.
And then, you know, jacked up the prices for everybody else. I feel like the bulk of it went to the pre-sale tickets to avoid that, you know, to give someone a code, and then that code is what led them to their tickets.
Right.
And then, the remainder or whatever they set aside for, you know, regular sale tickets is what sold out in 4 minutes. Either way, incredibly impressive. They could have easily gone to a much bigger venue.
Yes. Clue, the information is there to say that.
Right.
Yeah, this could have been a bigger venue.
And you never know if that momentum is going to continue once their product is underway and continuously rolling out. But again, like, I'll commend them for showing restraint, waiting, giving them that long to prepare for their first show. You don't really see that a lot. If this was WWE, they would have done a show like a few weeks after they announced.
Maybe. I don't know what, like, if I decide in January I'm going to put on a show in a 14,000 seat arena, I don't know how soon the next 14,000 seat arena is available.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I am sure it's bonkers complicated trying to, like, schedule that kind of, you know, book a venue kind of thing. I'm just impressed that it happens ever at all.
Sure. No, I'll agree with that. But I would like to see them reach a little bit further for their next show.
I think they will. I mean, yeah.
As long as, like, it would take a colossal misstep for them to lose momentum at this point.
Yes.
Like, so far everything's firing exactly the way that it should.
No, and I think, I mean, you can go anywhere that has any sort of message board related to wrestling, and people have talked about they didn't get tickets. They wanted tickets, they tried to get tickets, they didn't get tickets to this.
Yeah.
I do not remember the last WrestleMania where I saw somebody say, "Oh man, I was hoping to get tickets, but I didn't because I couldn't."
It's more of, "Oh man, I was hoping to get cheap seats."
Yes.
And they're all gone because, dear Lord, WrestleMania tickets are ridiculous.
So, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, so you could, and this is still like people traveling to a destination.
Yeah.
This isn't like when Raw's in town, we're like, "Oh, Raw's in town, we should go." Mm-hmm. But these are people who are like, this one show is happening across the country.
Yeah.
And I am planning to buy tickets, buy a hotel room, buy a plane ticket, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's jump into the
Elimination Chamber.
We have one pre-show match announced. And that's the Cruiserweight Championship. Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa.
Same as always, Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. Another match that no one seems to care about. Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin.
Braun Strowman?
Yeah. Still not sure what they are planning for him for WrestleMania.
I don't know. He was the, like, heir apparent to, "Oh no, Roman's gone." Like, that night they turned him face, and it felt like a, you know, panic. We need to have a big, scary, you know, powerhouse that was headlining all of our stuff.
it felt really weird too when they took Braun off of that Royal Rumble championship match against Brock.
Yeah.
Because he still was in the Royal Rumble. He still was competing. You know, so clearly he was medically, you know, cleared to
do something.
Do something.
And
at the time it was like, okay, well maybe that means Braun Strowman's gonna win the Rumble and face Brock, and they didn't want to have that match again.
Right, know, right. So yeah, the announcement was made. And the initial reaction was like, oh, that's the WrestleMania main event. They don't want to give it away at the Rumble and then try and repeat it. Makes total sense. And then that didn't happen. Yeah. And now it's Seth. And we're going, you know, full tilt in that direction.
Full tilt himself with Seth. And, you know, dear Lord, if anyone deserved it, it's Seth. Especially like, for the 2018 that he had.
No complaints. Go for that.
Yeah.
But
they surely wouldn't, you know, try to turn two of their championship matches into a triple threat, would they?
I don't think so.
Year?
And like, so do you remember there was some stuff that got out when Braun Strowman faced Brock Lesnar at not Great Balls of Fire, but like whatever their singles match was? And
yeah,
there was some backstage stuff about Brock not being pleased with Braun Strowman in the match.
Yeah.
And you got some like slowed down zoom in shots of him like trying to like slow him down and get him under control.
Match. There was points where Brock legit stiffed him a few times and told him to slow the F down.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, Braun Strowman has improved leaps and bounds since then.
He has, yeah.
And surely, like, they've had a match since then. They had a match at Crown Jewel, I think.
Did they?
I want to say, because it was like soon after, it was because they had a match against each other soon after Roman made his announcement.
Yeah, you're right.
I want to believe it was Crown Jewel.
Yeah. Because that was the shocker that Brock Lesnar won again.
Yeah. We don't remember it very well because we never watched that show. And I am proud of us for that.
So, anyway, point being, I guess that there is a possibility that Brock just said, like, I don't want to fight him. I want to fight him. He looks cool.
Yeah.
And WWE said, okay, yes, please, thank you more than anything you want.
Yeah. Braun Strowman's going to win, and we'll see what in the world.
Where this goes.
Maybe he takes a progression from last year's WrestleMania. Instead of teaming with a kid, he fights a kid. I'd watch that.
I would see that, but I would actually I could 100% see if they are getting close and they don't have anything for him, they would just bring Nicholas back for a cheap pop return.
I mean, to a certain extent, it would work.
No, it would totally work.
Now we have this weird Intercontinental Championship match. Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush versus Finn Balor. Finn Balor can pin either one and be crowned Intercontinental Championship.
Is that how rules work?
I guess. I mean, we've done, you know, handicap matches in the past where the other team has to tag in and out.
Yes.
And, you know, in any, you pin either one, you win the match.
Have you been able to win a title by pinning a non-title holder?
Yeah, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure they've done it.
There's been a lot of wrestling history.
They've done it at some point.
They've had shark cage matches.
Because I was going to point to, they did it with AJ versus Sammy and KO, but AJ was the champ.
Yes.
Versus Sammy and KO. So I don't know if they've had the shoe on the other 4 feet.
I don't know.
But, I.
And are both Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush legal in this match?
I would assume they would have to tag in and out.
I know, but why would Lio Rush ever tag in then? Just like even in kayfabe, why?
Well, you have to suspend your disbelief, Joel. Sometimes you have to do that. This is called professional wrestling.
No, I'm trying to suspend my disbelief, but like, why?
Hubris, you know? Bobby Lashley beats him down real good, and then he's like, all right, I want to swing at him.
God, I hope not. I mean, probably, but I hope not. Just let them both be legal. Just let them both be legal and do that John Cena fights The Miz and Alex Riley.
Yeah.
But don't do it for 30 minutes. Just do it for like
5-6. Yeah. I'm going to assume Bobby retains through shenanigans. Because, I mean, you don't have to do much for shenanigans.
Okay.
Or they have Finn pin Leo.
See, I'm assuming Finn, because do you want Bobby Lashley and Finn Balor to go all the way to WrestleMania?
No.
Does that feel like a WrestleMania match to you?
No. But when you're faced with the alternative of Finn Balor being an afterthought in the Andre, which would you prefer?
I prefer Finn Balor to be champion. That's what I just asked for.
I agree, but that's not exactly on the table.
If Finn Balor
not
wins...
Not a top champion, that's what I mean.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, beyond the Intercontinental Championship at this point, I don't see them having a plan for Finn for WrestleMania.
No, but he could win the championship this Sunday and then face somebody else, which would be fine.
They do have a pay-per-view, another pay-per-view between now and then well.
Do they?
Yeah, they announced it at some point this week, Fastlane.
Oh yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you have the same thing of like, he loses, he demons up for WrestleMania, and he wins. Which, like, you didn't demon up for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you couldn't bot, like, in like the biggest match of your WWE main roster career.
Sorry. I buy paint at a government surplus store and the government was shut down.
That would be a really good explanation. I'm holding that. The statement I was going to make to myself. Because we might have people listening to this that don't agree with our political leanings. Next, we have the Raw Women's Championship in a match that really no one had cares much about.
Oh my goodness, Ruby Riott's time to shine.
Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott. It's Ronda Rousey all day.
Oh my goodness.
There's so many R's in this championship.
Ronda Rousey
match and Ruby Riott.
Yes. Ronda Rousey retains over Ruby Riott.
Really?
Yeah. Rowdy Ronda Rousey retains over Ruby Riott.
I mean, we can keep going.
Nah.
I was fully ready to make my statement about all the R's and just move on.
I might be out after that.
Okay. Next, we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, Miz and Shane versus the Usos.
I don't know. We have another pay-per-view, like, because I've been aiming all of my stuff. I forgot about Fastlane. I've been aiming all of my picks as like, okay, how does this take us into WrestleMania? Yeah. Who's holding it at WrestleMania? I guess retain.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I was leaning. Just because for some reason WWE really wants this to be a thing.
This feels like a thing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disliking it, but it still seems like a little bit of a slap in the face to the tag team division. And really, any time a tag team championship is held by a team that was felt, you know, real like pasted together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two singles guys that were just thrown together or something. You know, the only team in recent memory that have overcome that is the Bar, because, you know, they've just, you know, stayed together for like 2 years.
Yes. Yeah. No, I get it. Somehow that worked. I don't know why it worked, kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we just talked about Raw. Raw has nothing, and at least I know who is the tag team champions on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I feel surprised on a weekly basis. Like, oh, that's such and such the tag team champions. I was like, oh, yeah. And then there was like a, really? Since when?
Yeah.
Happens all the time on Raw. And I don't know. I feel like at least there's a storyline there. So I would right now pick that over this.
Yes, I agree. We're going to move on to the Women's Tag Team Elimination Chamber match. Got Nia Jax and Tamina versus Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus the Iconics versus Bayley and Sasha Banks, who was medically cleared to compete on Sunday, and Naomi and Carmella. Now, you would think that it would just go to Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Bayley and Sasha Banks are the obvious.
They have been carrying this torch since the very first mention of a women's tag team championship.
Yes, absolutely.
But I could see them going the route of Nia Jax and Tamina.
That's your other one, really?
That's my what you, do you have another?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean,
I'm not saying I want.
No. I'm on the same path as you. Of this is the obvious answer. Mm-hmm. Surely it would be this. Why would you do anything other than this? Okay, wait, but I have to have another one. Yeah. But my other one was honestly the Iconics.
Sure. I mean, they would be like the surprise winner that would kind of catch a lot of people off guard. But you know, their entire career has been, you know, conjoined together. So like they feel the most tag teamy.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it sprouts from.
Yeah.
Is that this is the tag team. Everything else, I mean, the ones that aren't people thrown together are, we are the two underlings of a bigger boss.
Yeah.
Which we have a couple of, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the only ones that feel like legit teams are, you know, Riot Squad, Iconics, Sasha and Bayley, just because they've been, you know, they've had the storyline going since forever.
Yes.
And I guess to an extent, Nia and Tamina. But not like a, not strongly. I don't feel strongly about them as a team.
No.
Because it's one of those things where you're just waiting for Nia Jax to turn on Tamina and for no one to care.
Yes. I feel like this will go to one show and then be won by another show at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And so I could see SmackDown winning these titles here and then somebody triumphantly at Raw taking them back at WrestleMania.
Okay, so you're going to go with Iconics.
I'm still going to go with Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
Sasha and Bayley still feels like I should pick that. Why would I not pick that?
I feel like WWE is going to have them win at WrestleMania.
And that's very possible.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm going to go with, and I'm not happy about it, I'm going to go with Tamina and Nia.
Okay.
And then finally, we got the
other
Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, Kofi. Now, I would love, I'm not betting on this, also I'm poor.
Okay.
But I would love for Kofi to somehow get the win on this. If this is Kofi's one and only real, legit time to shine in the main event as a singles competitor, this would be the ultimate show of respect for letting him do that during WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, and having a championship run. And again, he can lose at WrestleMania, then he can lose at the next pay-per-view after that, and then be completely out of the main event. But you could at least say there was that one time, and man, it was fantastic. He finally got this moment that he deserved. But I'm not.
No, I get you're not confident about that.
Not confident. Because again, he is filling in for Mustafa Ali. Like, he wasn't even in the original plans.
Right. I would say, so it kind of comes down to, like, it feels like Daniel Bryan's going to retain.
Yeah.
And that's going to be my pick. Mm-hmm. The only tripping point is it feels like surely that means Daniel Bryan's going into WrestleMania facing one of these guys.
Yeah.
And so,
and I mean, and as much as I enjoyed the Daniel Bryan AJ thing, that also had gone on for so long.
We saw it, and you have a very obvious one and two that are there. I would honestly, I think, rather see some sort of weird interference causing Daniel Bryan to lose it here.
Yeah.
So Daniel Bryan has a vengeance match against mm-hmm. somebody out of this, and then somebody new facing Kofi is the honestly like the preferred pick right now.
Yeah.
Just because, like,
that, I mean, I would like for Samoa Joe to finally hold a championship on the main roster.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see. I uh-huh. feel like you already got Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
Have Luke Harper show up in some way in the cage, in the chamber. Weirder things have happened. I mean, weirder things have happened with those guys as part of the yes. Wyatt family.
Are you literally just building the Wyatt family with Daniel Bryan instead of Bray Wyatt?
I mean, that's kind of what they're doing anyway. So lean into it, except it's eco-friendly, sustainable lifestyle Wyatt family.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Or you have Bray Wyatt show up, you know? That also would be like, hey, you stole my family there, bud.
Yes. I honestly, that would be a very interesting, and I would watch this, Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt kind of thing, especially if they had a Wyatt brother in there.
Right. Pocket. I would like to see Eric Rowan and some other person, probably Luke Harper or maybe even Bray Wyatt, interfere on Daniel Bryan's behalf.
Causing him to retain?
Causing him to retain and starting a feud with Daniel Bryan with the Bludgeon Brothers behind him and then Kofi and the rest of the New Day behind him.
That I would enjoy.
Because then you don't even have to have a WWE Championship match, like one versus, you know, one versus the other at Fastlane. You can just have eco-friendly Wyatts versus Faces, New Day.
The other two New Days.
At Fastlane.
And then you...
And then you can have a championship match with Daniel Bryan and Kofi. Or they injured Kofi in some way and just have Big E so you can go full in on how much he loves junk food and meat.
Yeah, I think...
Or something, yeah.
I'm still going to pick Daniel Bryan to victor.
I'm doing the same.
I think it's a very triumphant thing, especially... after all that Daniel Bryan's been through, to let him walk into a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like it feels like he's finally gotten to be Daniel Bryan, especially, like, he came back, and then we talked about he should have been the return of the year, mm-hmm. but he just honestly wasn't last year, which is how do you drop the ball on Daniel Bryan returning after 3 years of retirement? And so getting to see him come into this WrestleMania as the champion, when, for all intents and purposes, his career ended... with him winning the championship at WrestleMania. Yes, he had a little bit after that.
Yeah.
And then, yes, he had a little bit of a thing when he came back, but it wasn't really anything, you know, after this championship. So I would like to see, and I would be willing to bend and wait for everything else to get to see him walk into WrestleMania as a champion.
Yeah. Or you have Kofi win. Because think of, just think for a moment, what kind of ridiculous championship New Day themed belt they would come up with? Could you make a belt out of pancakes? Because I feel like they would
figure try.
It out.
Yeah. They would try. All right, do you got anything else?
No, I'm emphasizing again, I'm going to have Daniel Bryan win.
Yes. Yeah. All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays and Sundays, appropriate Sundays, one of which will be this Sunday. We'll live tweet the Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
Pancake belts and all.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.